Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night open call. Mr. Jesse, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, but for some reason my connection doesn't sound that great.
Well,
okay,
I can hear you.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hearing you good, so. And we've got Terry here. Terry. Yes, I had a very nice Christmas, and thank you for my care package.
Oh, of course.
Thank
the
you,
cookie,
Jesse.
The cookie monster arrived.
Danny. That's Danny. She said, gotta go do this.
Yeah.
Oh, man, what a freaking experience. I got to leave to Tennessee again tomorrow.
Yeah. How was the cruise?
Shorter than I would have loved it to be.
Well,
5 days.
Yeah, I'm sure at this point in time you'd love to have it about 3 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, you blink and it's gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's just the way it is, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But yeah,
well,
otherwise.
You had a longer cruise than I did.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I'm not complaining. I'm not complaining.
Yeah, well, that's good. I had a nice Christmas. It was quiet. I just stayed around here. Ended up talking to a bunch of people Christmas Day. I had a lot of phone conversations with friends and did some work around here. And it was just a quiet time. And Sir John is joining us. Good evening, Sir John. How are you?
Good. It's the first time I ever had trouble dialing into Blog Talk.
Oh, well,
it
you
rang,
joined the
rang,
rest
it
of
rang,
us.
But I'm here.
Yeah. Well,
I was listening to you guys yuck it up on the Blog Talk Radio website, but it finally let me in.
Oh, man. Oh, geez. Well, you know how it is. It's the week between Christmas and New Year's, and anything can happen. Believe me. Anything
yes.
can happen. So we're all here. All of us are here, except I don't see Larry yet, and I don't know where. Maybe he might not be be joining us tonight for some reason. But
yeah, he hasn't told
anyway.
Me the difference, so I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
well, he's on vacation or something, you know.
Yeah. Well, Jesse, it's patented disclaimer or patent pending disclaimer time. Let's get that out of the way before it's forgotten. And you are the master at that, of course. So we'll let you do.
Yeah,
that.
The absolute master. Sure.
Yes, of course.
Everybody, welcome back. Yeah, we're almost to 2017, just a few short days away. From this. Anyway, guys, of course, for those of you that have not joined us prior, welcome. We got to give you this patented disclaimer of mine that changes weekly because I just like to have a lot of patents, I guess. If you're here looking for legal advice, you've come to the wrong place. Please do yourself a favor, hang up the phone and go search it out online or somewhere else, and that's called Attorney Services. They will give you all the legal advice you can possibly stand for about $250 an hour. Here, we were going to talk about legal situations and different legal theories and all the other stuff that we do that usually pertain to our situation and how we would handle it. But again, if you're looking for legal advice, then go somewhere else, please. There's nothing, of course. There's just nothing we can do for you. So with that said, David, of course, the good news is I got a bonus check in the mail, $1,000.
All right.
Not complaining. Yeah, I'm not complaining.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's good. That's, you know, again, the check is always nice. I haven't gotten any in a while, but boy, the next one I get, whew, is that going
right.
to be a whopper.
Yeah.
It's going to make up for a whole lot of them that didn't come
exactly.
for a while. Oh, boy. Oh, yes. Yeah. You know, Jesse, there's going to be some changes next year, and I think it'd be really good for you to address those now, and then let's try and remember to address those again at the end of the call so people know about schedule changes for next year.
Well, we're going to have our Open Tuesday call every other Tuesday. And our webinars are just going to be once a month. We're actually going to scale it down a bit. It's just too much information, too much of these open calls. And as you know, David, the participation has gone down quite a bit this year. And until we can justify spending 4 Tuesday nights and 4 Wednesdays on webinars from the audience, and until that demand is needed, I don't see any reason to do that. So for 17, that's what we're doing. We're going to schedule every other Tuesday on the open call. And I know, Dave, you're still going to have yours every Monday, and Terry will probably have hers every Thursday. But
no, mine's Wednesday, but starting the next Wednesday, January 4th, starting January 4th, my call will be 8 to 10, not 8 to 11.
Gotcha.
So, you know, the bottom line is, the bottom line is, you know, it's a lot of commitment on our part time-wise, and the reason we put the put ourselves out there for people is to help people. And if we aren't having as many people participating right now, because, you know, this is like anything else. You got yin and yang. You got ups and downs. We're going through a slower period. That's going to change here before long. We know that. We're set for it. The website has got a tremendous amount of information, and we'll be able to supplement that on these calls like we do. But until that starts ramping up, we're going to scale back, because Lord knows we've got plenty to do in our lives outside of this.
Yeah. Plenty. Lord knows plenty. So I'm going to put together the calendar. Yeah. As we talk tonight, I'm going to put the calendar in, and I'm going to email it. Email it to all our moderators, and then that way you guys can do whatever you can do around it. But it only makes sense to do it that way.
Yeah. And Jesse, really what you're meaning with the webinars is the Wednesday afternoon webinars, or we've been doing them weekly.
Correct.
And
next
year, starting in January, it's going to be one a month, and we will announce that at the beginning of the month when it's going to be, and then of course the email reminders that go out will have that information.
Right.
So, just so everybody knows, don't be piling in there and, what happened? I can't get in the webinar. Well, it's because there isn't one. So.
And if there happens to be a special webinar series done, we don't have a particular plan for one at the moment, but that doesn't mean there won't be one. That'll be announced via email and the schedule given for that.
That's right.
Yep, and plenty of advance notice for that when it's going to occur. So, you know, fear not. Other than the fact that if you just start ignoring what's going on out here for, you know, a month or 6 weeks, then you're likely going to be in the dark and miss some things. So keep an eye on those emails that you get every week. See what's going on. Take a minute or two to read those, and because Jesse sends out some good information in those. And I know there's not as many people opening them and reading them as Jesse and the rest of us would like, as there should be, right? Because he can track that, believe it or not. He can track all that stuff. So and they do. That's all part of doing a good job and getting information to people. So anyway, that's going to be the situation for next year. We'll briefly mention this again. I'm trying to remember to do so at the end of the call tonight. So there is going to be some changes. We'll be out here. We're just not going to be here quite as often. But the information is on the website. That's the whole idea. Go eat the elephant one bite at a time. And then when you have a little trouble chewing something, then you come on the calls and ask us how to rearrange your molar so you can chew it properly. So anyway, if anybody has any good news, hit the one key on the keypad on your phone. That'll put you in the queue for any kind of good news that you've got. If we don't have anybody that pops their hand up for that within the next 10, 15 seconds, then I'm just going to go ahead and open it up for general Q&A. I don't know that we're really going to have a long call tonight. It just depends. You know, last week we actually ran over a little bit because we had a number of people asking questions. But
I'll just give you a chuckle. You know how for the last 5 years I always wake up between 3 o'clock a.m., 3:30, and it's always dreaming about litigation stuff. Sometimes it's scary, sometimes it's funny, sometimes it's just so stupid, it wakes me up. Then I got to go to the bathroom, and by the time I get back, I'm wide awake. Well, last night, I had one of those dreams, and in that dream, I was in the courtroom. I don't know if it was at trial or conference or what kind of hearing or whatever, but I'm in the courtroom, and I'm at the plaintiff's table, and on the other side at the defendant's table is an attorney I recognize from Midland, and a Midland corporate representative, only he doesn't have a face. It's just a big pink blob with a question mark on it in a suit. And the judge says something, asks me a question, and I reach for a piece of paper, apparently a note or something, to answer the judge's question. And when I do, I knock a Bic lighter off my table, and it bounces under the table. At that point, the lawyer and the Midland representative leap out of their chairs, dive for the floor after the lighter. And the lawyer yells out, "Possession's 9/10 of the law." And the question mark in the suit, he yells out, "Finders keepers." And I jump out of the chair to get out of their way. And I look down and I said, "Hey, there's the Bic's out of Flicks, you idiots." And that woke me up, and I laughed all the way to the back of my back.
Oh, man. You couldn't do a dream like that again in 3 lifetimes, Terry.
I'm telling you.
With all the litigation stuff you've been
through. Right. First of all, you'd never get in a courtroom with a lighter, number one. And number two, I don't know why I would have it when it was out of Flicks. But I kept seeing that pink blobby face with the question mark in a suit and going for the lighter all the way to the bathroom back. That was a good one.
Yeah. All right. Well, nobody has raised their hand for good news, so I'm going to open it up for questions. And I want to tell everybody right now, if you have got a question, hit the 1 key on the keypad on your phone right now. That will put you in the queue. Because when we get down to having answered the questions for all the people that have their hand up, don't be going, "Well, you know, I'm thinking about it. Well, maybe I will," or this or that. Because if you're not paying attention, there's nobody with their hand up. We're going to call an end to things. This is a holiday week. So please respond now. Put your hand up and be listening and ready when I unmute your phone, so that you can ask your question. That's the whole reason we're here, is to help you guys. So, anyway, we're going to go to 973. You have been unmuted for your question.
Good evening. Hello?
Good evening.
Good evening. I got several questions. I've been trying to get a grip on this. I've been in all the webinars, and I've been... So I got one question. Manny, right now, I sent in the debt validation.
You sent who? You got to tell us what you're dealing with.
I sent Wells Fargo. My mortgage is owned by Fannie Mae. I mean, I've been on the calls, and my mortgage is owned by Fannie Mae, but is the original lender is Wells Fargo N.A. and I've been dealing with Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. Is those two different entities, or is it just the same? The NA and the Home Mortgage, is them two different entities?
Yeah. Why am I sounding so bad? Can you hear me clear, David?
Yeah, we're hearing you fine.
God almighty, everything sounds distorted to me. Yeah, you got to look and see what companies they are. If it's like Wells Fargo NA and Wells Fargo Home Loan Service, those are all different corporations. Oh, every one of them is different, and that's what you pay attention to is all. It's really not that hard with those guys.
So would NA have a assignment to Home Mortgage, or would that happen like that, or no?
Yeah, that's two different companies.
Okay, and I was on one webinar, and they said something about I want to say ghost assignment from Fannie Mae to something like along the lines of those, like it's an assignment that was made from Fannie Mae to Wells Fargo after they sold it, or Wells Fargo to Fannie Mae. Is that right or wrong?
David, I'm sorry, but I am hearing him so badly that I can't put it together. I don't understand what the hell is wrong with his connection on my end.
Yeah.
Should I maybe redial and put it in? I don't know.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he's not super clear on his voice, but I heard it.
Okay.
He's talking about assignments from Wells Fargo. Whoever originates the mortgage would assign it to another entity, whether it be a securitization trust or if they sell it or whatever. It has to start with the originator of the mortgage.
So they wouldn't have an assignment to put in Nate in my records, though, right? Because I've checked all the records and no assignments made from NA to Home Mortgage. Or I've been dealing with Home Mortgage now, but my originator was Wells Fargo NA. So it should have been
an assignment. Right.
So it shouldn't have been an assignment to what Home Mortgage. Or it should have been an assignment to Home Mortgage from Wells Fargo NA.
Whoever originated the loan is who's going to make the assignment. Period.
So would NA assign it to Home Mortgage, or is it all
correct.
One big company?
No. No,
okay.
It's all
and,
separate companies, yeah.
Okay, and I sent in the QWR, and I sent in the debt validation, and they sent me back, I think I told you, they sent me back accounting of my loan from my loan originated in 2011. They sent me accounting back from 2013 up into 2016. But, like, I want to say last week, it had the last week after Tuesday, I get a check from Wells Fargo saying that they sent me a $24 check saying that I overpaid my interest back in origination of the loan for $24. Is that any significance, or should I? Does that seem like
no,
anything?
No, I wouldn't think it is.
So
that's just correcting an error that was found when they went back and audited their records.
Exactly. I wouldn't make anything of it, you know?
No. There isn't anything to make of it.
Even though they sent me an accountant from 2013 and origination started at 2011?
Well, they're
they
supposed
to. They didn't
send
you the records.
Yeah.
What you just said?
Well, he sent them a QWR, Jesse. And his loan was originated in 11, but in the QWR, the record started in 13 to present, rather
correct.
Than
so
back to 11.
Call them out on that. Say, where's the prior records for this? For sure.
I sent in a second QWR asking the same thing, and they didn't send me back anything. They said that they sent me the information that I need, and is that because I've been going through the site, and is that sufficient for like the debt validation though, the
right.
mortgage and
well, of course not. If they don't give you a complete accounting of the amounts due, then they have invalidated the debt. Yeah, they can't just go back part of the way and say, oh well, you know, we'll start in 13 and just give you from there to here. No, they have to start from square one the day that you got the loan.
Okay, so
I agree, Dave, 100%.
So what would be my next, I guess, because I haven't been served any paperwork, but I'm surmising that they did file it. So should I do anything?
The question I have for you is, here's the question I have for you. Did they take that loan while it was under default, that assignment?
No. I had a refinance. My originator was my lender was Wells Fargo NA, but since joining y'all site, I found out that Fannie Mae owns the loan. I sent the QWR to Fannie Mae. They sent me back nothing, which y'all say they never do. So, okay. I sent them my note and my
yeah,
my
Fannie Mae doesn't own anything to begin with. Remember that.
Exactly.
I know that. Yeah. So they have nothing. They can assign. They own nothing. They only can assign interest, but they can't assign, you know, as an owner. And then, you know, the question is always with those guys is, what is your interest in here? What are you assigning?
Okay, because I'm now getting paperwork from Wells Fargo saying that Fannie Mae is my investor. So I don't
yeah.
know, like, so I sent in a securitization. I sent in to see if it was securitized, but y'all saying that if it's Fannie Mae, 9 times out of 10, y'all won't be able to find it.
Correct. That's true.
So.
Yeah, because they securitize all that stuff offshore, and they're not. There's different requirements
okay.
on that. They don't have to provide the records of it. That's why they do it.
Okay, so for now. But for now, I'm not getting anything from Fannie Mae. I'm not getting any assignments. I'm not getting any. I checked my public records. I got no assignments. So I wouldn't have an assignment because Fannie Mae don't assign. But, I mean, Wells Fargo on mortgages is filing the foreclosure. But I've been my notes say Wells Fargo N.A. So it should be assignment from N.A. to home mortgage, though, right? Or no?
Repeat the question.
Should it be assignment from Wells Fargo N.A. to Wells Fargo Home Mortgage or no? Because it's Home Mortgage saying it ain't my servicer. But I've been
okay, the originator, listen to this carefully so I don't have to keep talking with this like I'm a little confused. So I'm going to say what I think is happening and tell me if I'm correct or incorrect. And I'm sorry I got a bad connection. I just do. I don't know why, but I do. If the originator was N.A. and they assigned it to home loan, that's fine. What I haven't heard from you anywhere is how Fannie Mae is involved in any assignment at all. That's where I'm kind of confused because I haven't heard that yet.
I'm confused too. That's what I'm saying. Since I've been joined the site, I did the initial lookup, and I found out that Fannie Mae owned the loan. So now they're telling me that Fannie Mae just is an investor to the loan. So I'm trying to find out should anything be in public records about Fannie Mae. But going through the webinar, I found out that there wouldn't be anything in it to. The extent of Fannie Mae being in my public record.
Right.
So it's something like I don't know the exact term. I'm still kind of new, but I've been listening to the webinar. I think it's like an assignment that won't be recorded, but it is an assignment from Wells Fargo to Fannie Mae, right? But it wouldn't be recorded.
Correct. Where is that at, see?
That's my now. So should I ask Wells Fargo for that in a QWR again, or should I just wait for the process to come full circle?
No, the question I have is when did this? You know, remember I asked you was it transferred while it was in default? Well, you don't know because you don't have anything from Fannie. So was Wells Fargo the originator, or was Fannie the originator?
Wells Fargo.
That's what they say, but we don't know if that's the truth. That's what I'm trying to tell you. At what point did it go to Fannie, and then from what point did Fannie assign it back to Wells Home Loan, right? So you might have already been defaulted when that happened, which would put them in the position of a debt collector. We don't know that. We're assuming it's not, but we don't know that, right? Because we don't. There's no assignment that reflects any date.
So should I QWR that to Wells Fargo or should I wait? That's what I'm lost at.
So
now.
Should you
like
why wouldn't you QWR everybody?
I did that already.
Okay,
I
so then what do you ask me? Why should you do it? I don't get it.
Because they're not sending me. They're saying they're saying, okay, we sent you the, they sent me the accountant, which was from 2013.
They did not. They're 2 years short. They're 2 years short.
Exactly. Okay, and I'm finding that. Okay, I'm good on that. But they sent me nothing about Wells Fargo. They just sent me saying, okay, Wells Fargo is the investor. Here's their address. And you can, but I already QW'd on them because I already knew from the site that Wells Fargo owned my mortgage. But I never knew this prior to being on the site. And they're not giving me any information about Wells Fargo. They just keep saying, I mean, about Fannie Mae, they just keep saying, Wells, they sent me the note with Wells Fargo NA on it. But I'm dealing with Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. So now from dealing with the webinar, I found out, okay, them's two different entities now. That's a subsidiary of Wells Fargo NA, right? Or wrong? That's right, because that's, I just was listening to the webinar. I said that.
See, I'm glad you answered your own question. That means you're learning, so that's good. Yeah, you're right.
Okay.
So what I would do, if it was me, and this is just Jesse, because I always like to, you know, stir up the bee's nest, I would probably sue all of them under the FDCPA, because once you do a QWR or a debt validation, if they don't respond fully and they continue to collect or attempt to foreclose, that's still a violation going forward. Now, what state do you live in?
New Jersey.
Jersey. I don't know what the Jersey law is, their version of the FDCPA. I don't know. So, you know, I couldn't tell you how that is going to pan out there because I just don't know, right? So in Florida, for instance, they would be in trouble under the regular FCCPA, which doesn't require them to be a debt collector. It applies to any loan that is used for household purposes, right? So it has the same qualification under the FDCPA without the requirement of the debt collector status, right? So I don't know. You might want to look at Jersey for that. And the reason I would do that is I want to get information. I want to know where these assignments went, why wasn't I notified, where are they, and if you're a debt collector or you're not a debt collector, either way, I want to know so I can proceed accordingly, right?
Okay.
Without knowing that, I can't do anything. So worst case scenario in my mind is I'm a dumb pro se, I'm suing you, and I need information. So, oops, you're not a debt collector, fine, could care less, but I got my information. They're going to, you know, I don't know what they're going to do, but – I personally, you know, the way if you've been around long enough, I sue first, ask questions later. If I can even think that I can possibly put them in that parameter, either under Jersey law or the FDCPA, just by their actions alone, I worry about whether they're a debt collector later or not, because they can do a motion to dismiss based on the fact that they're not a debt collector, but they don't have the assignments to support that. As a matter of fact, the evidence proves that they might be because their assignment's missing, and they say they're missing. We have Fannie Mae. Well, where's Fannie Mae? Where are they at? Where do they come in play? You see what I mean?
Yeah. Because last time I was asking this, you said I shouldn't be even thinking about lawsuits. I should be understanding what's going on. So that's why.
And you have been, obviously.
Yeah, that's
thing,
what
man.
I'm saying. So I'm just trying to make sure that I'm at least –
right.
How you say 40% right, and you know I can get to 60% as we go. So I should be looking for the statute of New Jersey that supports the FDCPA.
Yeah, and just type in New Jersey. What would be the term, Dave?
Debt collection statute
law or something.
Yeah, debt collection statute. Yeah,
something to that effect.
Or New Jersey version of FDCPA or something like that.
Right.
Yeah, you say
yeah, just play with the words a little bit. It should come right up.
So I said Wells Fargo NA and Wells Fargo Home Mortgage, or just one of them?
I'd sue them all.
And Fannie Mae?
Let them start pointing fingers at each other.
Like I said, I'm going to go in there with a stick, and I'm going to stir up that bee's nest. I could care less what happens after that. Let's get on with it. You know what
you
I mean?
You can sue them all and let the court deal with it. The court will sue.
That's right.
So I'm
because
going
until
state
you,
or
you,
federal?
Federal.
State. Or I mean federal. Federal, not state.
Right. And you know what it's called there? It's called the New Jersey Fair Debt Collection Practices Act.
Well, John found it that easy for you. So
there you go, buddy.
Yeah. I just typed it in, and boom, it comes up.
Yep. Google's a wonderful thing.
Okay, I guess I answered all my questions for now. But I'm in the webinar. I'm trying to learn what I need to know. But thanks a lot.
All right.
You're
well, good deal. That's
you
what you need to do. Keep working on that. And then when you got questions about what you're studying, that's what these calls are for.
Okay.
Good deal.
All right.
Hope you had a Merry Christmas, and I hope you have a great Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Thanks, man. All right.
Thank you, Andy.
All right. We are going to go to 570. You have been unmuted for your question. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Okay, good. Just wanted to start off by thanking you for allowing me to be on the call. I'm not a member yet. I've been getting your emails, and I actually do open your emails, so that's a positive.
Okay.
I've actually come into, since I've been awake to the fraudulent banking system and everything else, I started challenging some of my credit card debts, and the reason I'm calling, I was wondering if I could get any more information off your site. I actually did send an email, and they said to come on the call and ask your question or just have some detailed information. I challenged one of my credit card debts for a world's foremost bank, which is the Cabela's credit card. They ended up charging off the account and after 120 days, and I received, we think it's an invalid summons from the sheriff here in Pennsylvania, and I was being sued by a law firm here in PA. So we've been answering and trying to get discovery. I've had a
Somebody's making a bunch of noise, like paper shifting around. Whoever's doing that, would you please stop? Go ahead.
Still hear me? Okay.
Yeah.
So we actually have been filing paperwork and trying to get discovery out of them and answering other questions, and we just can't get discovery out of them. So it's in the courts. A long story short, I have an arbitration hearing coming up in about 30 days, and we can't find, they won't answer the question. They're telling us, this law firm is telling us that they are counsel to World Formal Bank, but when I did some more digging, I found out that they sent my debt off to this Brumbar and Quando out of Nebraska. Since they have no jurisdiction out of PA, they sent it on to this other law firm, which is here in Pennsylvania. So they are saying that they are outside counsel to World's Foremost Bank, but we can't get them to give us any assigner agreement that they are legally bound with, as the attorneys for them.
You're not going down a road that's going to do you any good there, really.
This is why I told you to get on the phone call in the forum, because you're getting bogged down in the quagmire that they want you to get bogged down in. And if you send them a debt validation letter and they can't validate the debt, you sue them in federal court. And when I say them, you're going to sue the attorneys. And that screws them up real quick.
Okay, hold.
You have to get really aggressive. You need to tuck into the website. There's a lot of the webinars, I did a whole series on defending when you're being sued on a credit card and how to answer the complaint, how to do everything. But the key is, and where most of our members get their success, is by suing the lawyers in federal court for violations of the Federal Fair Debt Collection Practices Act and their state statute, if there is one. And then suddenly that law firm's having to hire someone to defend them, and it's costing them a heck of a lot more money than it does for them to sue you. And in fact, what it is normally they go for low-hanging fruit. They go for people that don't know what's going on, that one way or another they twist money out of them. But when you start making it cost money for them to pursue you, they want to settle.
Yeah.
Settle money.
John, he dropped off.
And pay you money.
Yeah, he dropped off. I didn't want to stop you so that he can go and listen to the recording. But
okay.
He dropped for some reason. Have no idea why. So
I think Blog Talk, it might be a little choppy tonight.
It is,
yeah,
right?
I had trouble dialing in the beginning. And
yeah, and John said he had trouble. I'm hearing everybody, so I don't know.
Man.
Yeah. Anyway, we're going to go to 407 for your question. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. This is Velva in Florida.
Hi, Velva.
Happy
How are
what
you?
Is happening,
Merry
young lady.
Christmas.
Happy well,
New Year.
Thank you. I hope all of you did not work yourselves to the bone fixing food and preparing this,
Ooh.
That, and the other.
She
oh, that's right.
On
a
cruise.
I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I hope you had a good time.
Of course.
Well, sometimes you don't. Sometimes they just don't turn
that,
out as well as you expect.
No. As everybody asked me, are you having a good time? I said, if anybody in this boat complains about anything, they ought to be slapped.
Exactly.
You can gamble, you can drink, you can sleep in, you can watch comedy shows, you can just lay around by the window and watch the beautiful look. You don't have to do anything. You can't
well,
even answer
do.
A phone if you wanted to. What are you going to complain about? I'm going to slap you right off the boat.
What,
well,
you mean you didn't take your satellite phone out there so you could stay in communication, Jesse?
David, you gave away my secret. Now shut up.
Well, I'm glad you had a good time and got to relax a little bit.
Yeah, it really
anyway,
was.
Anyway,
I will.
I'm working on a case. I was looking at the previous time when it was filed on PACER and discovered a few things that I was not aware of. But my question is about an alias summons.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like the case was filed in April of 2014, and as of 2 minutes later, the summons had been returned, unexecuted, and an alias summons was issued. I'm assuming it just got returned because there was no name or was not served properly. I don't know. I was never informed of this. So, I was wondering if you had heard of the term alias summons.
John, have you dealt with more? I've only dealt with one of those, and it was so long ago, I can't even remember.
Yeah,
I
heard of it,
not.
But I'm not up to speed on that stuff, to be honest with you.
What the heck is the reason they do
but,
that?
Of course, there's Mr. Google out here, you know.
That's
I know
true.
What John's doing right now.
That's what I'm trying.
And so am I. But I haven't done it. I mean, I did it so long ago, man, that it's, you know, like
yeah.
5 years
yeah.
ago. It's a second attempt by the plaintiff to notify the defendant they need to come. It also sometimes refers to as a plurry summons, which basically means an additional summons. That's all. So that's what it was. I tried to serve them. They didn't accept service. I forget what the hell it was. I think it might have been that David Stern thing that I did way back. Remember that, John?
Okay.
And I wound
yeah,
up having
I
to
do.
Give them a second summons or something, and that was just the alias summons, the second summons. That's all. So I got
now,
a hold of the peckerhead.
Dave, I think maybe a week or two ago, you and Larry were on a Wednesday call, and he was talking about his case against Comenity and a waiver of service. Would that be something
along that
line?
Yeah, that's totally
that
different.
No,
that's
yeah,
totally
most
different.
Court
that's totally, totally
require
different.
A waiver of service be offered.
I'm sorry?
Most of the courts now, when you're dealing with companies that are being sued,
uh-huh.
they require that you, when you serve them, you offer a waiver of service.
Oh, okay. I thought it was...
There
are
certain jurisdictions that require that. Not everybody, because mine doesn't.
Yeah, not all of them. But I know here in Georgia, they all do.
I was thinking that the alias summons was because you could not find the actual... registered
no.
agent individual.
Actually, listen, an alias summons is issued by the court. You don't even do it.
Oh, I didn't yeah. know that.
Yeah. So that's just the court's way to let somebody know. If you read it under the complete definition, it says is a paper, and a summons is the paper issued by the court informing a person that a complaint has been filed against her. May be served by the sheriff or the authorized person, da 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 da. An alias summons is just a second summons served when the first attempt at serving a summons is unsuccessful. That's it. Just don't make it any more than that. That's all it is.
Okay. I get it.
Yeah,
now.
Don't dig
okay.
too deep and don't go into reasons. Don't do anything. You know, I mean, here's the deal. If I served Velva and I had
yeah.
the wrong address and it came back, the second time I found you, that's the alias summons. I'm just serving you again. You know, I got you right this time. That's all. Very simple.
Okay. Very good. Okay. My last question to you, and now if the calls are going to get cut back a bit for a while, then the forum is still always available. Am I correct?
Yes. Of course.
Okay. That's all you need to know. Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You are very welcome, and a happy new year to you.
I was thinking about all those cookies Dave was in the process of making.
I'm surrounded by cookies.
Isn't that
I guess
a great
they
thing,
all Dave? I guess they got distributed, huh?
I
That's
did
a
bunch of frosting
thing,
today, and I got a whole lot more to do.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, but they'll be good. I got Labor Day cookies and 4th of July cookies and everything, so I'm all set. So, anyway.
Well,
yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, dear. All right, we're going to go to 865. You have been unmuted for your question. Go ahead.
Yes, gentlemen, can you hear me?
Yes, sir, we sure can.
Fantastic. I've been listening to your webinar here, I guess, maybe about 2 weeks, and I'm just learning about all this stuff. But my question was, how do you get, I guess, bill collectors to call you if you do not have any debts? In order to, I guess, try to sue them.
You answered my question, man. I don't have any debt. How the hell is anybody going to call me?
Yeah.
Sorry.
There isn't any reason for them to call you.
Yeah. You got nothing there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm eager to sue.
Well, but you have to have a legitimate cause of action to sue somebody.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't have anything, that's like me. I've done a lot of TCPA litigation, but I haven't had anybody call me. I had somebody call me earlier this year. I think a portfolio called me 5 or 6 more times, and I'll add that to stuff I've got with them. But I'm just not getting any other calls from anybody. So, you know, I'm running out of reasons to litigate.
Nobody calls me either, but then I don't use a cell phone, so that makes it kind of difficult.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but you can't manufacture things. I mean, I did, you know, come to think of it, I had a debt collector call me day before yesterday on my landline. I looked at the name on the caller ID, and I thought, that's really weird. And a guy came on, and there was a live voice, and he said, this is so-and-so. We are a debt collector. Please give us a call at such-and-such and so-and-so. But it was on my landline, and it was a live voice. It wasn't pre-recorded or artificial voice. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, so there's no violation for me there on that.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Well,
If it isn't there. You can't manufacture them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have a couple of debts out there, but, you know, since I'm just trying to get into this, I'm just learning and trying to figure out everything, and I'll be a member next month, so
okay.
I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, that's the thing. You know, if you've got some stuff out there, chances are at some point in the future you're probably going to be contacted by a debt collector, okay? So you're actually lucky in a way that you've got the opportunity to get ahead of the curve, which you always want to be ahead of the curve rather than behind the eight ball. You can be studying and get yourself knowledgeable, so at such time that somebody bothers you, whether it be, you know, by telephone or in writing or whatever, you know exactly how to deal with it the proper way.
Absolutely.
So,
okay.
That's good.
Well, and I do have one other question. There was a gentleman speaking about Wells Fargo, and that's who I have my service with as well. And the mortgage itself, it is with MERS, and from what I've been listening to from you guys, some pre-recorded calls that you had, just about any time when MERS is associated with an account, there's some sort of fraud going on and so forth. So I guess what I'm trying to do as well is learn the process. I'm not in foreclosure or anything, but I'm trying to get ahead of the game, like you said, so that when I say I'm done, you know, I know how to defend myself and, you know, get it resolved.
Yeah. Well, that's in the Saving Your Home section in the website.
Okay, and you do not have to be in foreclosure to use your process?
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. We do a lot
okay.
of...
No, it just depends on what somebody's doing. If they if they violate the law, you've got a legitimate claim against them, and you can go after them. But, you know, if they're not violating the law in some way, and there's no private right of action on anything that they've done, then, you know, there isn't anything you can do. But believe me, these companies, they're very diligent in breaking the law.
Right, right.
And there's no shortage of it out here.
Plan.
Yeah.
And I've actually asked them to let me see, you know, the note in person, the wet ink signature. And, of course, all
they
do
have
is send you a copy.
Yeah, but they don't have to. That's the deal. You know, just remember.
That's right.
It's right in your
really?
In your mortgage in the clauses. Yeah, down at the end of, what is it, the presentments clause that's in there. It basically says
uh-huh.
that they don't, you agree that they don't have to show you the note to, for you to be, they don't have to show you the note in order to collect payment. You just trust the fact that, you know, that you're sending them the right money.
Yeah, and see,
right.
you signed that at the closing table, and I bet you didn't even know that was in there.
Yeah, I went
we
back and looked
this.
At a lot of things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went back and looked at mine, and there's a lot of things that I've found out just by going back and reading. Words are very powerful.
Oh,
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah,
yeah.
Words
the lawyers,
wars,
the lawyers, clear. Tools of the trade are words.
Yes, yes.
You got it.
Okay. Okay, gentlemen. Well, I appreciate your time, and I'll continue listening for the call. Thank you.
All right. Yep. You bet. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Let's go to 310. 310, you're on mute.
Hey, good
go
evening,
ahead.
Hey, thank you, and happy holidays to everybody.
Oh, thank you. Same to you.
Sure. I wanted to follow up with you guys since I spoke to you back in September about a Capital One filing of a 1099-C that I received. I received notification about because the IRS basically said, hey, this Capital One had filed this 1099-C, and you now owe some additional taxes because of this filing. So
mm-hmm.
I did get in touch with the IRS, and I got in touch by mail with Capital One, and I made some demands. And those demands pretty much were returned with a response that said, well, we're going to need to know your Social Security number, your date of birth, and some other private information because we don't have any information on your name and address.
Oh, geez. Those guys
right.
Something else.
But yet
yeah.
they had enough information to send something to the IRS.
You got
yeah,
it. That's right. With your Social Security, with all your information.
Yeah. Yeah,
right.
funny thing. But now
right.
they don't have
right.
it.
Hmm. Well, you're correct.
Kind of like the lost note deal, huh?
Well,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
And I responded back to them saying, well, since you don't have any information at this point, I am requesting that you guys, you know, send me back a corrected 1099, basically stating that I do not have any liability here because obviously you have no record of any. So anyway, the reason for my question tonight is because I know that I now need to move forward with an enforcement action, but for some reason I'm getting hung up and stuck up on this 11th Circuit Court ruling about Capital One not being a debt collector. And I don't know why I'm getting hung up on this, but I am. So I feel like tonight was a good night to ask a question. I obviously sent them a
are you talking
a debt validation.
About Robinson case?
Robinson case, correct. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I just want to say something about that case.
Okay.
The reason it was lost at the 11th is that the wrong argument was made. Okay. Capital One is a bank. They are a lender. And they are going to be ruled to be a creditor, not a debt collector, under their normal course of business. All right? Now, however, they have subsidiary departments like all the others. You got Capital One NA, you got Capital One this, Capital One that, Capital One, so many different Capital Ones, okay? And one or two of those subsidiaries are solely in the practice of debt collection. Now, the case or the account in question in Robinson versus Capital One was purchased after it was obtained. After it was in default, they attempted to collect through one of those debt collection subsidiaries, which would be a debt collector, not the bank. But the argument was not made that it wasn't the bank that tried to collect it. It was a subsidiary whose sole purpose was debt collection. Had the correct argument been made, they wouldn't have lost. I know the attorney who argued it, and she didn't get it until long after the ruling came down at the 11th, and I finally made her understand, you made the wrong argument.
You know, and I'm glad you raised that issue because when the IRS wrote me back, you know, they basically said, you know, well, why don't you get in touch with Capital One Bank? And then it said, care of Signet Bank, who I don't even know who Signet Bank is. But now that you're saying this about the wrong argument being made, this makes complete sense to me now that this bank, Signet Bank, you know, must be the collection department for, and I've got to do some research, obviously, but they must be the collection department for Capital One Bank.
They use the word, you know, Capital One's good at it, but all of them do it, you know. But Capital One especially, they use the word bank in all their little subsidiaries, just hoping that this would happen. You know, they get sued, and yeah, they were definitely trying to collect the debt that was gotten after it was in default. They are debt collectors, but by calling themselves a bank Esquire or a bank NA or a bank something this or that or the other, they hope the courts will not catch the nuance and the other side won't make the right argument. And it works.
That's right. I get it. I get it. So I really need to now enforce the fact that, okay, their action through Signet is what categorizes this as a debt collection as opposed to...
Well, you don't know if there were any actions through them yet, do you?
Well, okay, I should back up and say the only activity is really the filing of the information filing 1099-C. So you're correct. No one's tried to sue me for this. This is the first time I ever heard
about
it.
No, they're not going to sue you for it. They just do that. They take the write-off, right, and they want to stick you for the taxes for the so-called income. But you're saying that Signet, and hang on a second, Terry. You're saying Signet's involved in this. The only way you heard that name or anything was something that the IRS sent you. Well, don't trust everything
the IRS
sends you.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
and here's the thing, okay? If the IRS said contact them through Signet, that tells you something. Okay, that 1099-C wasn't issued by Capital One Bank. It was issued by that subsidiary, okay? But the proper thing for you to do is what you did. Contact Citibank or Capital One Bank and, you know, demand them to validate this 1099-C and substantiate it. They look up in their records and they don't have it. Of course they don't have it because one of their debt collection subsidiaries is the one that did it. So now you've got that bank saying, well, we have no record of you. Oh, really? Then your 1099-C is obviously a mistake, or it's fraudulent, and you can relate that to the IRS and state, Capital One states they have no record of this account and no debt for which to file a 1099-C on.
Yeah, well, Terry, I've already written that letter to the IRS, and, you know, I, unfortunately, the IRS's response was basically, go contact them and get a corrected 1099-C. Otherwise, we're going to just assess you with the additional tax in about a month, in 30 days.
Did you file a 3949-A?
Yes, I did. That's the one that, yeah, I did. Mm-hmm.
On that 1099-C?
I did. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I did.
Then I would stick to my guns. I would answer them again, and this is just me, what I would do. Mm. I would answer them again. I would tell them, I'd see attached a second time if you didn't, or the first time if you didn't attach it with one of your prior letters, the 3949A that I filed after receiving this bogus 1099-C. There is no debt. Capital One has no record of an account for which a 1099-C would have been filed. Therefore, there can be no corrected 1099-C because there is no account and this is not taxable income.
Got it. I like the way you say there can be no corrected 1099-C because technically there wasn't enough information to file it initially.
Exactly. They have no record of any account for which to forgive you.
Got it. All right. That sounds great. Yeah. Well, no, I'm going to stick to my guns on it. I just, you know, this is where I think I was getting blocked, and I appreciate the clarification, so... Thank you very much.
Did you send him a debt validation letter?
Yes, I sent that. That was actually one of the first letters I sent to Capital One.
And what did you get
back? Well, I got back the response that said, we don't have any information based upon your name and address. We need your Social Security. We need your date of birth. They wanted more detailed information about me. So I immediately responded to that by saying, if you don't have the information on me that you have already filed based upon your information filing with the IRS, you therefore don't have enough information to have made that filing to begin with, and I'm requesting you send them a corrected 1099 because you don't have the information. Now that I've challenged this.
Well, no, there's another angle that I'm looking at. When they sent a 1099, they alleged a debt. Now they can't validate it, and you can sue for FDCPA.
That's what I was thinking, John.
They
and
took
you have
a legal action
it.
They were not legally entitled to take by filing that 1099, and they've harmed you. And if you're getting any duns from the IRS or anything, you have actual damages, so you can get more than the $1,000.
Well, I mean, I realize that is my next step now, because since neither is being very helpful. I mean, well, actually, the IRS was helpful because they gave me the information about this Signet division that obviously operates under Capital One. So I agree with what you're saying. I just I was just getting blocked in terms of what I could do here because I was...
Therefore, you could sue both Capital One and Signet because you have factual information. So that right there, you know, increases the amount of money. So, I mean, the question is, why haven't you filed yet? I mean, that needs to be your New Year's resolution to drop the hammer.
Yeah, no, that's what I have to do next. I just have to, like I said, I have to enforce. So I just needed that one clarification. And Terry, I think the way you put that was perfect, which is that, look, there can be no corrected 1099-C if you didn't have the information to begin with.
Hey,
Exactly.
They'll fix
they don't have record of a debt to forgive. How can they file a 1099-C on a forgiven debt?
Right. But
now, I just Googled Signet Bank, a division of Capital One, and there's a Baltimore Sun article, October 12th of 94. Signet Banking Corporation has changed the name of the credit card corporation. The company will be called Capital One Financial Corp, Richmond, Virginia. The credit card division generates almost two-thirds of Signet's earnings, so there's definitely a connection there.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Thanks, Dave. Right.
Google
okay.
it. Do some reading.
Yep. I appreciate it. All right. Thanks, everybody.
All righty.
All right. Good night.
Okay. Fun and games. If it ain't one thing, it's three. Let's go to 313.
That earlier caller would have been all over that.
Yeah. Yeah. 313, you are unmuted.
Yes, I think that's me.
It's
Hello,
you.
Is that me? Oh, good evening. Good evening. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
I have a couple of questions. I have a couple of questions, please. One of them is, can I have Jeff's website?
VoidJudgments.net.
VoidJudgments.net. Thank you very much. And my second question is, do you have any information on Corman versus Aurora Loan Servicing, LLC, out of the Florida District Court, U.S. District Court?
Just
I
Google
don't
it.
Know anything about that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just Google it. I'm sure it's probably right out there on Google.
I've seen the complaint, and I believe that the court ruled in their favor, but I haven't been able to find it. I guess I'm going to have to go to Pacer.
Oh, yeah.
But it's one of the most comprehensive consumer credit lawsuits that I've ever seen. And it's very far-reaching, and if no one has read it, I suggest that the reading of it might assist people in the filing of their suits.
Now, what is it regarding? I'm just curious.
Corman is suing Aurora for debt collection. Aurora is attempting to collect the debt that they didn't originate, that was a securitized debt.
Okay.
And so when the trustee, well, that's a different case. Anyway, it's a securitized debt, and he came in and he sued down the line, and he sued for, the case is remarkable, you have to read it, 14 things, 9 different kinds of fraud, FDCPA, RICO, and I understand he won. I don't know. I don't know. That's what
you got to do your research, yeah. Is it Corman?
Corman.
Corman. Versus Aurora Loan Servicing.
Right. I believe it's 911 CV 8163 DMM.
Right.
I was just a case of that magnitude. I was sure that you and Terry and John and company were into that one very, very heavily, because the arguments that are made there are absolutely tremendous, and they are backed up by a good deal of information and support.
Well, it's a matter of how the court ruled.
Yes, it's a matter
of how
the court ruled.
That's the biggest thing, obviously. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, I was just wondering if you had that information, but I was mostly interested in getting Jeff's website. I thank you very much for that, and have a great evening.
All righty. Well, thank you. Appreciate you bringing that information up for us.
Okay, Dave. Oh, Dave, and while I'm at it, can you give me your website again, please?
I don't have a website.
You don't have a website?
Have a website. I got so much stuff going on that I don't have time to maintain a website. Oh, no. No, you can go to use my link to Knockout Collectors, which takes you to Jesse's websites. But I don't have a website.
Knockout Collectors. Okay.
Yeah, knockoutcollectors.net.
All right, thank you very much.
All righty, thank you.
All right, good evening.
All right. Now, I think we may be getting back to the gentleman that was on earlier, and we lost him 570. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Sorry, I dropped your call the last time, but I just caught the tail end of it saying, actually, I dropped it, that he said sue in federal court. I had done some research and saw some of that stuff, but I'm just not sure that I'm attacking this here at the state level properly. So I just didn't know if there was any information on your site. I was looking to actually join before.
There's a ton of information, and that's the reason I told you to get on the call. And the reason you sue in federal court is then that screws up the debt collector attorney. You sue the attorney. You see, these guys go after people that they can wrench money out of that don't know how to fight them in court. And they've basically taken that account on a contingency basis where they only make money when they take the money from you. But when you sue them in federal court, they got to hire someone to defend them. And a lawyer for federal court costs more than it does in state court. So when they were going after you, how much money are they suing you for?
$5,000.
They're suing you for $5,000, and the retainer they're going to have to put up is going to be several thousand dollars just to get someone to look at your federal lawsuit against them. The Supreme Court has stated that attorneys are debt collectors if they do anything to collect the debt. So it is very, very likely and very easy that they have a violation that you can sue on. So suddenly it screws them up because normally they're running this business and they're getting default judgments on, 20, 30 people a day. Some of the big firms do a lot more than that. And then suddenly the lawyer and the law firm are having to defend you suing them. And it's costing them time and money, and it's, besmirched their reputation and all this crap. They just want to get it over with and settle. And we get a lot of people that go, I'm not ready. I got to fight it in state court, and that's what they're counting on, wasting your time and getting a judgment against you and everything, where the people that go after them right away in federal court usually get the other side to come and go, we'd like to settle. We'd like to settle.
Yeah.
We're willing to waive the debt if you, drop your lawsuit and you go, I don't know, you violated, so I don't owe you any money anyway, so pay me money. And you end up in a lot better position. And
okay.
It's all completely covered in the webinar archive.
Yeah, in the website.
In about 30 days, so I was wondering if that would have to be done before an arbitration hearing.
You can sue them if you could draft. Dave could draft a complaint in an hour, and he'd have it filed in the morning. And you can do one pretty quick too. And if you serve them before you go to the arbitration, more likely they're going to meet you in the hallway before the arbitration and want to talk about settlement.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
Your federal lawsuit becomes leverage in dealing with them. See, a lot of people just don't understand that. They come at you with a claw hammer. You go after them with a 10-pound maul. Okay? That because you're doing it in federal court. It is a deterrent. It's a bargaining chip. Make no mistake about it. They don't like federal lawsuits. Now, in the website, dealing with the state lawsuits against you, it's the beating credit card section. And the part to learn about doing the lawsuit against them is the taking their money section.
Taking their money is where I would look into suing them in federal court. Okay.
Right.
In the webinar archive.
Okay.
And then as far as
webinar,
what you're dealing with, you can look in the beating credit card section about defending the lawsuit. And I've got one that's called the Complete Strategy Overview, and that'll tell you exactly which – webinars to look at for where you are with your whole thing. I know you were having trouble with discovery or something. They're not going to give up discovery. You have to know how to compel. The important thing is you do discovery on them, discovery that's going to help you when you sue them in federal court, because you can get whoever they're suing on behalf of to own up that the attorney's doing something wrong. And, basically one rat's on the other and you've just got them by the nuts.
Yeah, they're trying to get me on that, and they just won't give up anything, and all they have is the statements and the application I have. That's all they keep throwing at me that they have. So
they have an application? Does it have your signature on it?
Yeah, I know. I don't know how that holds up in court. It's an application with my signature. There's no contract. There's no anything.
An application doesn't mean anything. An application's an application. It's not a contract.
I know. That's what I.
When you rent an apartment, you fill out an application for the community, but you know you still have to have a fully executed lease to have an agreement.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not sure the court's going to see it that way. So.
Well, can they prove that's your signature on the application? If you deny it's your signature, there's nothing the court can do. The court can't go, well, it's your signature.
Well, it's not an original document for sure. It's an electronic document that was, you know, just forwarded. They don't have an original of anything, obviously.
Well, you know what? If they don't have an original of anything, it's just a copy. And a 12-year-old could have created it with, computer program.
Yeah, it can't be authenticated.
And that's where I'm thinking I could possibly get them at, the fact that it's just an application with my signature and my statements is all.
No. Listen to me. It's an application with something on it that appears similar to your signature.
Okay.
Don't ever say it's your signature because it's not.
Yeah,
and if it's a copy, it's not an application. It's a copy of an application.
Right.
Well,
the whole other thing to consider is this, that you could have a pissing match with them over the application, or you could pull out a baseball bat and split their skull open. Which works more effectively?
I like the federal lawsuit.
That's,
so do we.
It's so effective.
I've done over 100 of them.
I could join your website, and the paralegal that's been helping me draw up my paperwork, I could join your website, obviously do a lot of studying, and I could use your information to go ahead and file that, correct?
Yeah, let me tell you something, that it's nice that you have a paralegal that can help you, especially if it's for legal research. But if they're writing stuff for you, the paralegal isn't going to argue on your behalf in court. You need to know the arguments. You need to draft the documents. The website shows you exactly how to do that. Because no matter how well armed you are with paperwork, when you got to go stand in front of that judge and stand on your 2 feet, look them in the eye and argue, if you don't understand what you're talking about, you're cooked.
If that judge asks you a specific question about something contained in your pleadings, your complaint or another pleading, and you are a deer in the headlights and can't answer him quickly and specifically, you're dead meat, and that paralegal cannot talk for you.
Well, see, that's what I was afraid of as well. Some of the stuff in in the documents he's been writing, I get lost in it, but I understand generally what's going on.
That's not enough.
Yeah,
because
no,
you're going to be the one that's going
to
stand in front of the judge.
We have seen disaster that happens because a person allows themselves to get in that position.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, you really need to do it yourself and understand it for your own benefit, really.
Okay.
We've seen some very bad outcomes as a result of those kind of situations. And we don't want to see that happen to you or anyone else.
Yeah, no, we don't want to see it ever again.
No.
So have you seen any cases, if you sue them in federal court, that you actually go to court or they just want to settle? Have you seen that they just want to settle most of the time?
It depends when you're
talking to the other
side.
I have filed personally over 100 lawsuits. I've been in a federal courtroom twice, and the reason that I was there was to watch other trials. I've never been in a federal courtroom for one of my suits, never.
But I'm headed to trial in a case I've had that's been going on since April of 2013. And the 13, the ones I filed before that settled. You never know how big a fight the other side is going to put up or how important the issue is to them. The case that I'm embroiled in right now is deemed very important by the defendants, and they're going to fight it all the way. So it's impossible to predict.
Yeah, there's a relatively small chance you're going to end up actually at trial. It's less than 5% of the cases go to trial.
Yeah, I really don't want to go to trial, to be honest with you.
Well, nobody really wants to. I don't either.
I don't think over $5,000 you're going to go to trial.
Probably not. But then again,
you'd have some kind of a settlement, more than likely.
You know, this was a situation where I sued them, and the amount has nothing to do with it. Almost 5-year battle going on over $300.
Can we go over there?
Shower.
Huh? Oh, okay.
So it just depends on how important it is to the other side, how stubborn, how ignorant they're going to be, how arrogant they're going to be. There's so many variables in there. You just can't know.
Yeah, you just need to understand that there is a small possibility. And I want to emphasize small, quite small.
Okay. All right. And you have a form in there that you can ask basic questions on your website.
Yes, absolutely.
You get a little help on certain issues.
Yeah. Okay. And the forum is broken down by subject matter. So if your thing is related to the beating credit card section, please post in that part of the forum. If you're in the taking their money section, you've got questions, make sure you post in that proper section rather than mix them.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you taking my call and the information.
Okay, yeah.
See, I'm going to look into I'm interested in some of the other stuff that's on your site that I've heard on another call, too, as far as the any debt collectors calling your cell phones and stuff like that. So that's interesting.
Yep.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. I'm going to speak up and say, if you have a question for us, hit the one key on the keypad in your phone right now. If nobody does that, then we're going to call it a night, because if we don't have people to answer questions for, we're going to go ahead and we're going to head down the pike. Now, we had one person that popped up here, so we're going to go to 913. You've been unmuted. Go ahead. 913.
Good evening, everyone. How are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
Very fine. Thank you. I have a question because I have a friend who's a pro se in a different state, and she's kind of been waiting for her money. You know, she's not doing what we're doing, like consumer credit, but I wondered if you had any ideas on how she can collect on her judgment.
Well, she's got a judgment against somebody?
Yeah, she does. And then, you know, I was just talking to her the other day, and I'm saying, well, you know, there's an order for you to, you won. And she said, yeah. And so she's like, well, how does she collect from that person? I mean, is it her job to go after them and get them to follow the court's order, right?
Exactly.
And
you have to go through that procedure with the court to get your writ, and then is it local where she is?
It's in Missouri.
No, that's not my question. Is it local?
Okay.
Is whoever owes her the money, are they local right where she is? Or are they in a different state or something?
That I don't know. I didn't think that.
Because if they're in a different place, what you have to do is take and domesticate your judgment. Let's say you're in Missouri and you got a judgment against somebody in Wisconsin, for instance. You have to domesticate that judgment into Wisconsin so that the court in Wisconsin can seize assets to collect on the judgment. You know, they can seize money in a bank account or, you know, depending on what the laws are, seize property or whatever.
Well, but she should contact the clerk of the court where she got the judgment and ask the clerk only procedural questions. No advice. Clerk can't give you that. You call the clerk and you ask the court's procedure to file for a, what do they call that, Dave?
Writ.
A writ of,
I keep wanting to say writ of possession. Yeah.
No, it's a writ of execution.
Writ of execution. I knew possession was wrong. I just.
Writ
of execution.
Writ of execution. what that court's procedures are for, do you need to file a writ of execution to collect on the judgment that you got in that court? And the clerk can help with that.
Yeah, you have to obtain a writ of execution.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. And the clerk can give her some information on how to file that in the court. And, of course, as Dave pointed out, it does make a difference where the entity that the judgment was gotten against is located. Mm-hmm.
Right. And then sometimes you may have to go out and depending on the situation, may need to do an asset search to find out, you know, where they bank. And there are private investigators, skip tracers, that can do stuff like that for you. There's companies out there that specialize in asset location, finding assets.
Okay, great. Thanks for these leads, and I will definitely let her know what you said.
You know what would be good? Have her come on these calls.
Yeah, well, actually, I actually said, you know, asked her if she was going to get on the call, and I thought she was, but I haven't heard her yet, and I just couldn't help but try to gain some information, and I will email her immediately and say that, she doesn't need to get on the call. Thank you so much.
Yeah. You know, why do stuff secondhand? You know, if she gets on the call and we answer her questions, and then if she's got a follow-up question on something, then she's right there to ask.
Yeah, because the question for her is, how bad does she want her money?
She does. You know, but I guess she was leaning towards, she was talking about a writ of mandamus, and I wasn't sure if that was right.
No,
so I just thought
that's completely incorrect. She's getting her writs mixed up.
Well, she did actually talk to a clerk, and so she came away with writ of mandamus, but I wasn't sure. That's why I jumped in. I'm going to email her. You're closing down the call for tonight. Is that right?
Yeah. We've got one more person that's got their hand up, and then we're going to be done.
There's my call tomorrow night, though.
Yeah.
Okay. I will let her know about your call, Terry. Thank you so much, everybody.
Okay. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Have a good night. Happy New Year. Bye.
Absolutely. Everybody's going to have a happy new year. It's going to be a real interesting new year. All right, we're going to go to 609. You're unmuted for your question. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone. Merry Christmas to you and happy new year.
Well, the same to you. How are you?
I'm great. Of course, I was listening online, but I had to jump on and ask this question. Regarding foreclosure, what do I use to determine who's the original creditor with regard
your
to
mortgage?
Your mortgage
and note.
So if it was sold the same day
that
with
comes
the settlement,
afterwards.
Say that. What do you mean?
That comes afterwards if it was sold. You know, you're saying how do you find out who the original creditor is? You just look at your paperwork. It tells you right there in black and white.
So any creditor or, wait a minute, wrong word, any entity that got my mortgage after them are not considered original?
No.
No.
The original one, right? That's it.
The original is, there can only be one original.
Okay. That's what I'm
trying to confirm. Now, here's, just to clarify this for everybody. Let's say you get a mortgage from Bank A. They are the original creditor. They sell it to Bank B while you are current on your payments.
Right.
Bank B stands, and legally stands in the shoes of the original creditor because it wasn't in default when they obtained it. But they're still not the original creditor.
Okay. Well, if they stand in the original creditor's shoes, do they legally have the same rights as the original creditor?
Yes. Yep. You rip the sticker off their shirt, the one that says Dan, and you put the one on that says Tom. But they stand right in the same shoes, and they have the same rights. What changes everything is when the right to collect on the indebtedness changes hands when it's in default. As long as it's not in default, the creditor status does not change to a debt collector. But only one entity can be the original creditor because they were the originator of the loan. That will never change. But from a legal standpoint, others can stand in the same shoes. Hope that clarifies it.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Is that all you had for us?
That's all I had, except for here's an important question. So I'm on an HP laptop, right? And I have an Apple phone that I use all the time. But while I'm on my laptop, can you tell me why I keep trying to hit the space bar twice to get a period inserted?
That I don't know.
I can't help you on that one. I know how my computer works and my phone. I have no idea how yours works.
Okay, that's it.
Okay. Thank you, dear. You never know what you're going to get with Yvonne. I love it. Okay. We've had a couple more people raise their hands. So it looks like everybody perked their ears up and paid attention when I said something. Let's go to 513. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hello, everybody. Happy holidays.
Well, thank you, man.
My question is, if property has been foreclosed on, but there's somebody living in a property, and just one day they go to the store and they come back and the locks have been changed, no notice to vacate or eviction order, none of that. But what actions could one take?
Oh, you got a good one. That's my favorite. If you go to the Saving Your Home section, you will see that there's a trespass lawsuit there. Yeah, there's an example of one I used. I've done it at least a dozen times for people, helped them with that. That's trespassing. It's breaking and entering. So you file a police report. You get the police report copy. Then you file your lawsuit and you sue your servicer and their agent, John Doe. So you would sue, you know, Bank of America, and then John Doe 1 and John Doe 2 and John Doe 3. And then, you know, you demand that Bank of America tell you who these companies are once you sue them. And rather than tell you who they are, they will pay you $1,000 each of them for
FDCPA, just to make
them go away.
I tried to file a police report today, and the police – the cop pretty much told me that since it's a civil matter, it's not criminal. I have to just file
it's a breaking
complaint.
And entering.
It's breaking and entering. That is absolutely a criminal offense. That cop's full of crap.
Breaking.
You need to talk to somebody that's got their head out of their butt.
Yeah,
okay,
the first thing I would have said is, officer, are you an attorney? No? Okay, then. Breaking and entering isn't, and that's exactly how you talk to them. You're not an attorney, are you? Just police officer. Good, just take the report. That's how they get your job. I don't need that.
Don't be giving
me
legal advice.
Yeah, I didn't ask you to make a legal determination, did I?
Did you go down to the police department to do it, or did you call an officer out?
I called. And so basically,
go down to the police department.
Okay.
And if the Dumkoff on the desk doesn't get it and gives you the same sort of thing, you ask to speak to the sergeant in charge or, you know, supervisory level, whoever's on duty, and you say exactly what Jesse just said. Are you an attorney? No. Well, then take the report because that's your job. This is breaking and entering, and that is a criminal offense.
Okay. That, you know, what's funny is that was my mindset because I kept asking questions, and he then the third question he then starts referring to, well, I'm not a lawyer. You're going to have to get yourself a lawyer, and you know, but
man, you know,
idiots.
So, our tax dollars at work, you know.
Okay, yeah. And so you say you have a lawsuit that's on the site. For trespassing and breaking in
there? Yeah, go look at it in the Saving Their Home section. You'll see there's one there. And if it's not there, it's taking their money in the FDCPA section because that's what you sue them under is FDCPA.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
And
Just go look at it. It'll make you chuckle.
Okay. And my last question is there any – what is the deal when you deal with the police and it seems like – I mean, they're requiring a Social Security number.
Who is?
For what?
Who
is?
Just to take a police report. If you want to file a police report against somebody, they're asking for your Social Security number.
Yeah.
You're not entitled to
they want
that.
To identify who's making the complaint.
Yeah, well, here's my driver's license.
Exactly.
Okay.
Because
that's a violation of the Social Security Act itself.
That's right.
To demand is for a service or product, right? They
what?
Can't demand.
I don't understand what you're saying.
Social. I'm sorry. They can't demand a social in order to render a service or a product and turn around and. Okay.
Yeah.
That's the Social Security Act. Okay, I thought that, you learn so much over the years, and then, okay, so that's the Social Security Act. And and that means I shouldn't have to provide a Social Security number just for them.
Put your driver's license out there. Here's my ID.
Okay. Okay, thank you. That,
just get
that's
it out. Put
questions.
It out there. Say, you know, they ask you for that stuff. Say, I don't give out my Social Security number. Here's my ID.
Yes. Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you very much.
All righty. Thank you. Go have fun with them. Go beat them up. Man,
I want
you,
to so bad.
Well, go do it.
Okay.
All right. We got one more here. We're going to go to 770. You've been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi, Merry Christmas to everybody. I just had a clarification from the question of the lady that answers. So if it's in default and then it gets switched to a different servicer, that servicer is then a debt collector, correct?
Anybody that touches it after that when it's in default is a debt collector.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Thank you. I just wanted to make sure. Thanks.
Okay. You're welcome. That was easy. Yeah. Nope, it really is that simple. Okay, guys, that's it for tonight. We're going to wrap things up for not only tonight, we're going to wrap things up for the whole stinking year. It is the last call on Blog Talk Radio for What Lies in Your Debt for 2016. And Jesse,
it is.
You want to go real briefly over the changes that are going to happen the starting first of next year again, so that that's on the record here for people that didn't hear at the beginning?
Yeah, we're only going to do an open call every other week, and then we're going to do one webinar a month. That's it.
On Wednesday.
That's going to be the major change on Wednesday. That's right. And if we do a series, like Terry said, you'll be notified of it. Not a big deal. But at the end of the day, that's the goal, is to, you know, get this done in a – till we get more participation, I guess, is what I'm looking for.
Yep.
There's no sense in beating this dead horse. You know, it just doesn't make sense. And the economy's – you know, as Harry Dent said, my timing's off, but my prediction is still correct. You know?
Yep.
So,
I absolutely agree with Harry. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know,
I was going to say, as it was mentioned earlier also, the forum will still be there available for people, you know, to ask questions. So if you've got them, that's another good reason to be a member. Have access to the forum so you can get in there and post your questions and get an answer on a short-term basis.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so we're going to do that.
Okay.
And then we can go from there. That'd be the easiest way just to
right.
describe it. We're just limiting the calls to every other Tuesday.
Yep. And the big thing is it's going to be more important now for all of you, when you get those emails that Jesse sends out during the week, don't just, delete. Don't take a moment and look at it. Read it. See what's there. Because if there's going to be changes, if there's going to be something special out of this ordinary schedule that we've just talked about, it's going to be in there. They're going to tell you about it. And if you don't pay any attention to those, if you don't take a 30 seconds or a minute to skim over that stuff and look and see what's there, you're potentially hurting yourself. So take the time to look at those emails when they come. It's to your benefit. So
that's right.
Then tomorrow afternoon, for the last Wednesday of this year, we are doing open Q&A. So you got one last shot at the moderators at 3:00 Eastern tomorrow. And this, of course, is for members. And then that's going to be it for the year. And we'll start out next week with a whole brand new, nice, shiny year. And next year, I guarantee you, is going to be a rock and roll year in this country and in the world. If you thought things were wild this year with all the stuff with the election and everything else, you're going to see the economy change next year. You're going to see a lot of political crap going on. So my best suggestion to all of you is make sure that your seatbelt is very functional and the buckle is in good shape, because you're going to need it next year. Jesse?
That's well said.
The only other thing that we got is Terry's call tomorrow night, of course. We always have Terry's call on Wednesday night. That is unless she doesn't have it. But if you're not on her email list to get the call reminders and the other information she sends out, send an email to queensongbird@gmail.com. And that's all you got to do. Put it in the subject line, short, sweet, and to the point. Then for all the members, the rest of the week and into the whole brand new spanking, brand new year, use the forum. Use the forum, study in the forum, but post your questions in the forum. And then Monday night, even though it is the day that we celebrate New Year's Day, I'll be there with Dallas Step Discussion, just like I was for last night, Christmas night here. And that's still on TalkShoe. The PIN is 54318. That call starts an hour later at 9:00 Eastern. And that is a two-hour call. And a reminder that starting next week, Terry's call will be a two-hour call. It will be from 8 to 10 Eastern. So, everybody, have a wonderful and safe Happy New Year from me. I hope all of you had a wonderful Christmas. And I look forward to some really interesting things happening in 2017.
Oh,
all yours, Jesse.
It'll be a fun year. God bless everybody. Yeah. Thanks to our moderators for making it an awesome year, and we'll see where this goes next year, guys. Have a great week. Happy New Year. And, hey, you know what we didn't discuss? Is there a webinar tomorrow? Who has a webinar tomorrow? Is it an open Q&A?
Yes. It's open discussion at 3 o'clock, the last one of the year.
Don't forget about that. Yep. All righty, guys. Good night. God bless everybody. We'll talk tomorrow.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys. All right.
Happy New Year.